B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Murray, that question, if Bill Belichick has to manage Jared Stidham early on in his career, if he has to give him soft landings and conducive spots, is that an indictment on Jared Stidham being the next guy?
Yes, especially in today's NFL, which is so conducive to, you know, allowing a quarterback to really open it up. I mean, the rule changes have really allowed for quarterbacks to thrive in the game now. And so if you have to manage him the way you're talking about it, and you're starting a bum like Brian Hoyer to start the season so he can ease in, he doesn't believe him. I believe in him. I truly believe that, because there's more of an air of unknown and upside with a young quarterback like Stidham, who's barely been on the field. You know, he already beat out Hoyer, and I think that he did that on merit, not because it was, you know, money and contract. That's what I believe. I know others don't. So if you do it that way, I think you're already ruining the kid, and you're ruining his confidence.
So,
I mean, I don't feel that way. I mean, because, again, I thought it was quite possible, if not probable here from the very beginning, that they were going into this offseason saying Stidham needs another year. We got to fill the gap. I just don't like the way they filled it.
So could they have done better on the fill? And I think that's a fair second guess. But if I'm really going to say, and again, I like Andy Dalton more than Brian Hoyer, but by how much? By how much? So does that mean a fail, or did you pick the wrong bum? And, you know, I'm not sure he did. I think he's going to win with Brian Hoyer. If Brian Hoyer, you know, and I'll say this, that if the plan is that Hoyer's sort of the fall guy to give, you know, Stidham the chance to replace him, and Hoyer at some point is going to fail during the year and Stidham comes in to save the day. What if that doesn't happen? What if they win with Brian Hoyer? And what if Brian Hoyer starts out, whatever, pick it, 6-2, and they're, you know, they're on their way with Brian Hoyer? Then I say Stidham doesn't have to play at all. Why does the long-term prospect of Jared Stidham rest on him playing this year at all or playing early? It doesn't. I mean, to me, it doesn't. Garoppolo didn't play for 2 years and is a good NFL quarterback. Aaron Rodgers didn't play for 3 and is a great NFL quarterback. Mahomes sat out a year. I mean, everyone's sort of different. But just because you don't come in gangbusters your first opportunity and set the world on fire doesn't mean you're not going to be a good player. And that's just how I look at it with Jared Stidham. Now, I would be annoyed and I would consider it a failure if they had to go back into the quarterback market next year, because then it would mean we really wasted a year on a kid that wasn't the guy. But if he's the guy and they just go slow, fine with me. All right, back to your thoughts here as promised. Frank in Rosendale. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys. Quick question. If you had the choice between Brian Hoyer and Scott Zolak in his prime, which I don't really know when that was, but who would you rather have as a quarterback?
So I love Zoe, totally, but I go Hoyer. I do.
I lean Hoyer there, too, with all due
respect. I mean, I think Zoe has a better arm. I think Zoe's bigger, in his, you know, day was probably more athletic, and has a better arm. I mean, Zoe's still got a hose, man. He's got a great arm. But I think Hoyer can be a decent little game manager. You watch. If they go to Hoyer, they're going to win games with Brian Hoyer. And they're going to
We'll see.
They're going to contend at least for the division, if not win the thing with Brian Hoyer. Jules in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jules.
How you doing, Mike? I say play Stidham. Just throw him out there. We're not going to sit back and nitpick this season. We've been 20 years of greatness. We know what this season is going to look like. I just want to see what the game does.
We're not going to nitpick him? Oh, Jules. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to nitpick. We're going to hammer. If they get off to a really bad start and Jared Stidham is in the middle of that really bad start, oh, God, we're going to hammer. We're not going to nitpick. We're going to hammer. We're going to say, why'd you let go of Tom Brady? This is the guy that you hitched your wagon to? Now you're 1-6, and here's the future? And he's all beat up, and he sucks, and you're 500, and we're going to hammer him. What do you mean? Are you kidding? And so if there's a way for Bill to manage that and get out of that kind of situation, I don't blame him one bit. If you're 1-6 with Brian Hoyer, then Brian Hoyer sucks. And here comes Jared Stidham. And if Jared Stidham goes 500 the rest of the way, then you've actually put Stidham in a little position to succeed.
Okay, so then let me present you with another scenario. Let's say that it does take Stidham another year and that they don't have an intention of playing him very well. And he gets in at the end of the year and he does well. But with Hoyer, you go 6-10 or 5-11. Is that a success?
No. Nope. They've actually got they have to win with Hoyer. And I told you before, this season is a failure to me only if they have to go back into the quarterback market next year, or, you know, 1-2, both these things, they suck this year. They have to have a contending good year. And that's been my baseline. I have not been willing to throw this season away with anyone. I just happen to think they can win with Hoyer. Now, could they have won more with someone else? Maybe. But I think you're arguing on the margins there with most of those guys. Brian's in Beverly. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Mike. This is more directed towards you. I just think that you're a Belichick guy. And what I think that Stidham and Hoyer are both not going to do well. And I think this entire season's about Belichick's attitude and Brady's attitude. And I would bet you at Santapio's Pizza at the end of the season that the Bucks have a better record than the Patriots and don't make the playoffs. And I will wait to hear what you guys have to say.
Okay, there's a bet on that. Or I'll just take the sausage on the side. They still do that, right?
Yep, they do.
Because the carbs and the pizza, you know. And they have that... it's amazing, too. What do they put on the bottom of that? It's like cornmeal, right?
Cornmeal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
No, I fully expect Tampa to have a better record. I expect Tampa to have a better... Tampa's probably... their roster's better, for sure. The coaching staff isn't, but the roster's better, and they have an easier schedule. And Brady, to me, feels motivated, which we'll get to here in a second. So, I expect Tampa. If Tampa doesn't have a better record than the Patriots this year, then Brady blew it. I mean, those are the stakes there. But we'll get to that.
Boy, can you imagine if that ever happened? if the Patriots go 11-5 and the Bucks go 7-9?
Seriously, with that roster?
Bill would have to call a doctor to try to get it to go down.
What was his other point, though? Oh, I'm a Belichick guy. Sure, yeah. I've sort of picked Brady Belichick. I picked Belichick. So, you know, if you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly. So I'd rather have the coach at this juncture of his career than the quarterback. If they had to choose, I think they made the right choice. So I'm all in. So I've decided to go with Belichick. So I'm going to trust him to manage the quarterback situation. And I'm going to trust that he can win with Brian Hoyer. But as far as my Belichick allegiances go, it's also a Hoyer thing. In other words, if he had gone with Ryan Mallett, I'd say, no way, you're porked. I mean, there is suck. There is a level of suck that you can reach that Bill can't coach you out of at the quarterback position. And he's had those. Ryan Mallett, Rohan Davey, Kevin O'Connell couldn't play. Like, he's had some, believe me. And if we were looking here at Ryan Mallett, I'd say, forget about it. You're porked. I think that Brian Hoyer is better than that. And if the team's good enough and the game plan's good enough and the coaching's good enough, he'll do whatever he'll give the game just enough to win the games that you should win. Do you know how many games they've won over the years where it really didn't matter who the quarterback is? I mean, we do know this, right? And this is not a slight on Brady whatsoever. But of the 16 games, there have been seasons where, like 10 of them? It made,
or something like, yeah, I don't disagree with that point either.
Right? It made literally no difference who the quarterback was. It didn't matter. You beat the team in all three, four phases, including coaching, and Brady's play was just window dressing, which is why you won by 30.
Yeah, they had a better roster in those years, though.
So without Brady, you're winning by 10 with just Joe average quarterback. I mean, there's been there were so many games like that last year.
Yeah, that Monday night Jets game. It was over in just a couple of minutes.
It just doesn't matter. There's just so many games, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
Okay, but again, I think in a lot of those teams, they had more talent. And once again, and I hate to get on this road because I know how much it pisses off Patriots fans, but thank your lucky stars you're in the AFC East. Because I can't imagine that you're going worse than 3-3 in the division. And, it, you know, really, I was looking at this earlier. I'll just mention it quickly. If they were in any other division, they're talking wild card and nothing else, with the exception of the NFC East, by the way, because that one's a little questionable, too, although I think Dallas is better than the Patriots. Nonetheless, we saw how that one went.
How about Dallas? You know, what would Dallas-Philly be in the AFC East? Favorites.
They would be double-digit win teams.
Favorites.
Both of them.
So, yeah. I'm sorry, the NFC East is better than the AFC East.
So, fair. So, yeah, really. Again, I'm telling you, if you take the Patriots and put them in any other division, the NFC East might be the only other one they win right now.
So continue. You still think this is a doormat division?
I do, relatively speaking. And again, I'm not telling you that it sucks as bad as it has in the past, but it still sucks. I mean, everybody's all geeked up about Miami, myself included, but let's not get crazy here. They're not going to the Super Bowl this year. If they finish with a winning record, it's a major accomplishment in year two of Flores. And Buffalo, better. But it's not like they're I don't think they're a Super Bowl threat either. And the Jets blow. So the fact is that most of the projections and predictions about the AFC East this year all have the division winner ending up somewhere around 9-7. And I think the NFC East is similar. But in all seriousness, look at all the other divisions. Are the Patriots winning as constituted? Are they winning the NFC West? No. AFC West? No. AFC North? No. NFC North? No. And the South is the same. They're not winning any of the South division either. New Orleans and Tampa Bay down there, they're not better than them. And the AFC South, I think you could argue that Indianapolis, Houston, and who am I leaving out? Tennessee are all better than the Patriots.
So I'm just going through it right now. I'm just looking at it. The AFC East has improved. I think we can all agree.
It still blows.
You know, and I think the coaching might be the biggest thing. There's a couple guys in the division who look like maybe they have a half a clue in McDermott and Flores. But it's still the worst division in football. I think you're right.
It is.
I think it's actually easily the worst division in football. I mean, there are some other divisions that are like top heavy. Like, you know, the AFC West, Kansas City, and then it's Denver, Oakland, Chargers. Like, they all might suck, but there's the Super Bowl champion there. So that sort of gives it weight. I think
the NFC South kind of sucks too, but you have a potential Super
Saints.
Bowl favorite with the Saints.
Saints and Buccaneers. Oh my God, it blows the AFC East out of the water. No, it's still the worst division in football.
Honestly, I'm not even sure. Again, the NFC East to me has been, you have teams with talent there in Dallas and Philly, but they've underachieved the last couple of years. But even so, I mean, they're certainly better than Miami and the Jets. So I look at it as put the Patriots in there, where do they finish? And they could win the NFC East. I don't think it's likely, but I think they could. The others? No shot.
Okay. Well, you want to weigh in on that? 617-779-0985. Also, what schedule are you most looking forward to seeing tonight? The Patriots, or is there another team that you're even more interested in? We'll discuss this right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm so happy to be in Tampa Bay, and I wanted to say thank you guys for welcoming me and my family into your community with open arms, outside of getting kicked out of the park the other day. I'm so excited to be a Buck. So we have an incredibly exciting season ahead. I can't wait until we can get together as a team, start our practices, and start working hard to improve. There's a lot of work to be put in between now and the start of the season, but I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at Raymond James in a couple short months. I promise you that. So stay safe, everyone, and let's go Bucks.
And so tonight begins, Maz and Murray, what I think is going to be such a, providing it all happens, you know, we actually have the season and everything. We'll begin what is just, I think, such a great thing for us here in Boston, and that is two teams to follow, two games to watch every week, and just something that you're just hyper-invested in beyond just the New England Patriots, and that is Tampa Bay and that schedule. Are you looking forward more to the Patriots schedule or Tampa Bay schedule, Murray?
If I'm going to be completely honest, it's Tampa's schedule. Because they're going to have more primetime games, and I think they have juicier matchups like the one you mentioned earlier where they're going to be hosting Patrick Mahomes and the reigning champion Chiefs. And they also, I think, play in Tampa against Green Bay. Like, there's some real marquee games for the league, not just for them, on that schedule.
I mean, Tampa's just a way sexier team right now. way sexier. So again, you're going to have two matchups with Drew Brees. You're going to have Mahomes. It's just there are so many things to look at there with Tampa Bay because of the Brady factor. That's, I mean, it's hard to not have more interest in that.
So again, just looking at some of their games, obviously, you guys mentioned New Orleans twice. So both the Brees games, they get home Green Bay. And then they play both L.A. teams and the New York Giants. So Brady's, he's at New York. He's at Los Angeles once. L.A.'s once at him. So the biggest markets, he's at Chicago. So, he's playing at the big markets, the biggest markets going. He's playing against the marquee players in Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. He plays at Vegas at that new stadium. It's just there's so many games on that schedule. And this does circle back to what I'm glad – I'm glad the thing that we were going off of yesterday, that the first month will be the non-conference games, which are then the most expendable. If they have to shorten the season, delay the season, cut the season, that they just cut those first four games, the non-conference games, and those are the ones that are expendable. I'm glad that turns out it's not going to be the case, because I think some of those non-conference games are usually some of the best, biggest marquee games the league has to offer, including Brady versus Kansas City. That might be the biggest game of the year. It's KC at Tampa. And that might be, that's when you can save for that November, December sweeps, week. Oh, it'll be in Tampa, so the weather will be fine. You put that puppy on a Sunday night, so you'll have good weather for a Brady Mahomes shootout in prime time in the sweeps month. And they shouldn't be just, wasting that on a September Sunday afternoon, or, even worse, expunging that game because they have to shorten the season. That's a game they should be trying to save, not get rid of.
Yeah, if they want me, I can write the open forum, for crying out loud. That's a beauty. The last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, the star of yesterday and the star of tomorrow. I mean, it is the two of them nose to nose. That's a great game.
So
they have had a leak,
I was just going to ask for that, Mass. Go ahead, Murray.
It looks like this is from Nick Underhill. He used to actually cover the Patriots here. He now covers the Saints. It's going to be New Orleans at Tampa, 4:25 window, week one.
Okay, good game. Great game.
That is a great game right out of the gate.
You guys ready to give me Tampa's week to week?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm in.
Win-loss.
Yeah, I'm in because I'm Team Tom. Okay. Tampa Bay.
Look, this is off of someone. All these opponents are right, okay? And all the home road is right. But there's someone who just put out an ideal Tampa schedule, like what they would like to see. So this isn't what it's going to be. You just told me week one is New Orleans. But let's go by this. Home road is all right, and the opponents are all square. So you just tell me what Tampa's record's going to be. You guys ready?
Yeah. Win.
Home Atlanta.
Win.
At Denver.
Loss.
Win.
Loss. Loss. Brady sucks in Denver.
Yeah, given the history there, I don't like their chances there.
Loss.
The Broncos suck.
Loss. You lose, Mass. At Detroit.
Win.
Blowout. I love it. Home New Orleans.
Win. Win.
At the Giants.
Win.
Win.
Home Rams.
Win.
Home Kansas City.
Loss.
At Atlanta.
Win.
Home Carolina.
Win.
Home Chargers.
Win.
Win.
At Chicago.
Win.
Win.
Loss.
You lose.
I do lose. Home Green Bay.
Win.
Loss.
Win. At Raiders.
Win.
Win.
At the Saints.
Loss.
Loss.
Home Minnesota.
Win.
At Carolina.
Win.
Boy, crap. You guys have going 13-3.
Yeah.
They're going to be 13-3.
That seems high. 11-5, 12-4, I think is realistic.
Well, you got to come up with a couple other losses on that schedule then, big boy.
I know. One of those road games, maybe at Chicago, maybe at the Giants, something like that. They're going to drop one of those.
So I gave them a loss at Chicago. Good defense. Maybe that's a weather game, something like that.
Yeah, it feels like a 12-4 team to me. I think that's because, again, if they were to play Minnesota in Minnesota, I could see them losing that game. But the Vikings on the road, Kirk Cousins against a good quarterback, please. He will soil himself right on the 50-yard line in Tampa Bay. He's got no chance of winning that game.
So the expectations, this is the thing. Brady goes 10-6 in Tampa? That's not so, you know. You go 10-6 with Brian Hoyer slash Jared Stidham? Oh, my God, huge win.
That's a greater accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean,
totally.
You play the expectation game, you know, and that is, back to the Stidham thing. I wonder if Bill's considering managing it like that, putting Stidham in a position to win. Mary in Manchester. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, guys. So, Mike, we talk about how Belichick mismanaged the asset with respect to Garoppolo because he never got enough in return. But the same can be said in the transition with Brady, because the minute that Brady got the franchise tag removed from his contract, that should have put Belichick on notice that he didn't have any leverage over Brady. And I think that it was arrogant of him to assume that he wasn't going to sign with Tampa. So I agree with you. I think he's going to start with Hoyer because I don't think he wants to throw Stidham to the wolves, and I don't think he's ready. But in terms of an actual plan, I think it was a fail.
Well, so in terms of asset management, Mary, or, you know, maximizing return, I think we can already say fail. Already say fail. I mean, if you want to just purely manage the asset the best, you keep Garoppolo, trade Brady, and now you've got a billion draft picks and the quarterback of the future. Like, but you're giving up a Super Bowl there in the middle of it. So, like, you know, but even there, I mean, even keeping Brady and going to those two Super Bowls, they still could have managed the asset better. I bet Belichick's pissed at Kraft all the way around. You know, first you made me trade Garoppolo, and then you made me give up the franchise tag on Brady because you wanted to take care of Tommy. And I bet you Bill in private moments blames Robert for all of it.
Oh, I don't think there's any question he does. And look, in his defense, I think he's right. I mean, it really, if you're playing out the long term, I think Bill had the better plan. Now, look, they won a Super Bowl in there, although they certainly got some good fortune. Not that you don't need that to win any Super Bowl, but they had a little bit of a break in there. And so, I mean, look, I knew there was a reason I liked Mary. Like, Mary sees it the way I see it. That's why I like Mary.
Bud in Brockton has been hanging on patiently on the return of sports. Bud, thanks for hanging on. What do you got? Sorry I left you there. Bud! Okay, I apologize. Probably napping. Go ahead, Mass.
Mike, I was just going to say, you know, and going out, just jumping back to that Tampa Bay schedule as we were rattling off the games. Boy, they got some really good fortune in that schedule because they got the NFC North, which is not a pancake division, okay? That's no cream puff. But they get Green Bay and Minnesota at home. They get the AFC West, which is a weak division, but it has Kansas City in it, but they get Kansas City at home.
Yeah.
So their best games, their toughest opponents in those eight games are Kansas City, Green Bay, Minnesota, and they get them all in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, once again, it all lines up for Brady. Speaking of which, Tommy got a workout in, finally, down in Tampa, and there's some commentary on that. I have some thoughts on that as well. We'll pick that up right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't love it. I don't love it. I can't stand it when LeBron's doing the ropes. Hashtag strive for greatness. You make $38 million a year. You should be striving for greatness every day. And with Tom Brady, I don't need to see him working out in the backyard in the Tampa heat. It's what you should be doing. I get it. So I'm with you. I don't want to see Tom post those videos. And conversely, I really don't want to see 36-year-old LeBron James post. 35-year-old. I can't keep up. 17 years in the league. You should be doing that every day.
Strong.
You probably aren't doing
it
that
going
fun.
Strong.
That's Skip Bayless with Shannon Sharp again. Shut up. Let him finish his take. He's chirping. So Tom Brady, if you're watching the simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, he posted something on Instagram of him doing like a stepladder workout there in Derek Jeter's backyard. And sort of sidestepping, not technically the ladders, but, you know, for lack of a better description, that's what he was doing. And I guess Skip Bayless has this thing where when LeBron or one of these high-priced athletes post videos of themselves working out and working out hard, like, look at me getting ready. Yeah, I guess Bayless's point is, well, you make $30 million, you're a professional athlete, that's what you should be doing. Like, there's nothing special there. That's your job. It's like a plumber showing up and fixing a toilet. That's what you are, an athlete. You get up and you run the ladder and you work out. That's what you do. There's nothing special about that. And you know what? I never considered that, but you know what? Skip Bayless is right about that, Mass.
It's a hard-o move. It's a total hard-o move. Ooh, let me show you how hard I'm working out so you can be impressed. It's like, go pound sand.
Wait,
seriously. And honestly, I don't care whether you were a superstar or not. I don't want to see your jackass workout.
You're contradicting yourselves because you both take your pants off to the Zdeno Chara workout videos.
It's true. It's true. Those are so good that's almost erotic. But let me tell you why. Those are ridiculous. First of all, Murray, and it's fair, so I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite, but what Chara is doing is really freaking ridiculous. I mean, you saw what he was doing. The massive squats, then the one-legged hurdles, and then he does, you know, he climbs the rope,
box jump,
the box jumps and the squat, and then he climbs the rope with the body vest. Like, I don't know, if you want to show me a video doing a stupid human trick, like doing something that's above and beyond, fine. If you're just working out, which I'm sorry, this video of Brady, he's just working out. And it's not even, I'd play it for you, but.
Doing those sideways high knees at the speed he's doing it? I was impressed by that.
Look at his left foot, Murray. He's not even inside the bars.
Exactly.
He's half-assing it. That's not even that impressive.
You do that speed.
Murray, I'm a freaking talk show host. I'm not a pro athlete. What he's doing is not even impressive. So he's got shoulder pads on, and he's stepping sideways, but he's not even stepping sideways squarely like he should. He's bailing out of the drill. He's not even doing it properly.
Hard-o move.
So I'm sorry. If you want to show me, you know, you doing something above and beyond, all right, that's cool. I mean, like watch Chara climb that rope with the body vest on. That's ridiculous. That's kind of lame. I'm sorry, that looked kind of lame to me. But that's really not the point of it. That's a side piece, because Bayless ripped him for it. Do you know what I want to rip him for? Living in Tampa. Can you show it one more time on the simulcast? I'm sorry, I know you've run it a couple of times. Just run it once more. Do you see what he's had to do there in Derek Jeter's backyard? He has had to put a privacy tarp over the fence. That's the fence that faces the bay. And what was happening, which he told Howard Stern, he wasn't in there a couple of days before Bubba the Love Sponge in his pontoon boat was pulling up to Brady's backyard with the six-pack and the fishing gear, you know, hooting and hollering at he and G. He had to privatize. That's his fence that he had to put a privacy tarp over because people were peering in from the bay. They were pulling their stupid boats up and looking in at his backyard. Furthermore,
oh, I see. I couldn't tell what that was. Eyes are so bad now.
That's what that is. And so it's distance. I can still see distance. And furthermore, that's AstroTurf. And thirdly, it's just a little tiny strip. It's so I look at that and I go, that's what you get when you move to Florida. You stinking Florida cheese ball. It's another McMansion with no space, no yard. You can go grass there all year long, but what the hell? It's Florida, so you put turf in there. And because you're in freaking Tampa, and the dudes are rolling up in their pontoon boats, drinking beer and watching you and Giselle at the pool, you've had to put up a privacy tarp just so you could have a little workout. You tried to go to the park, but they kicked your ass out of that. So now you're relegated to this little strip of AstroTurf in the back of Jeter's yard that you had to privatize because, again, all the yokels are driving the boats up in the bay. Welcome to Tampa is another way. You didn't have to do that in Chestnut Hill, Tommy. Chestnut Hill, you had a nice piece of land, real grass, all the space you needed, all the privacy you needed. No one bothered you back there. You buttoned the primrose there at the country club. The only thing you had to contend with was Judge Schmales, you know, slicing it into the woods. You had full privacy, all the land you needed. You didn't have to put a privacy tarp. You didn't have AstroTurf. And you had all, you know, again, it's Jeter's house, and I'm sure it's a fancy house, but it's still Florida, dude. And when I look at that little strip of land that he's working out on, I go, you're still stuck in Florida.
And it may look cheesy, but you know what's not going to do there this weekend? snow. Snow. Like, it's going to snow here in this godforsaken hellhole this weekend.
Oh, my God. I would so rather live with snow in Boston than have an AstroTurf strip of land next to my McMansion in Tampa. I mean, I'll take the McMansion, I guess, but freaking Tampa, Murray. You don't understand how good you got it. You really don't.
That house is wedged in there, man. There's no two ways about it. The more you see it,
it's Florida.
Is wedged in there.
So there's another thing he posted. He posted a picture of he and his kids on the jet ski, which they've started to enjoy that body of water in front of the house. And they were out on the jet ski and they took a picture. Maz has a problem with that.
Yeah, it's like, screw you. Like, you know, and I don't mean you, Felger. I mean Brady. No, like, I got to see him sitting on the jet ski while the rest of us can't go out on the golf course. Like, so what's he doing? Just letting the world know that I'm living the life of Riley while you 30 million Americans are unemployed? I just thought it was kind of a dick move, frankly. I thought, like, oh, yeah, great. Let me show you how great my life is while everyone else in America is suffering. I thought he looked like a complete tool bag. He's on what? He's on a jet ski. I'm wondering, did he trademark that, too? Is that now a Tomsky? Like, what else did he trademark? Tampa Bay? What was the other one, Murray? It's like everything's Tom. Which is, again, I tie it all together because the workout video, Tom. Look at me doing dance steps in the backyard as if I'm somehow supposed to be impressed by it. This is, Mike, I'm surprised, honestly, you're not a little more irritated by it.
I'm not at all.
This is what he became over the last couple of years. Let me go on a boat in the Mediterranean, hang out with some race car driver, play
different.
It cool,
this is
and
different.
Tell people that I can't go to OTAs because I got to be with my family.
This is different.
I hate the whole thing. I think it's become all about Tommy Wood. That's it's all wait. About Tom being on the internet and Tommy Wood.
Can't wait for Garoppolo to suck it so hard this year. They're going to go right down the toilet with that bum. Oh, it's so biased. I get it. You hate him. You're glad that he's gone. Oh, like, so I'm supposed to be mad at my friends who live in other states and they get to golf and do stuff I don't because I live here in this nanny state? Like, good for them. And I've been getting inundated with golf videos from my buddy who's in Atlanta and all the other states where they've been allowed to do this stuff the last couple of weeks. Good for them. He's out on his Tom ski with his kids. Good. Have fun.
He is so unrelatable. It really is. He is so unrelatable. He's become increasingly unrelatable here. And in fact, I don't know if you guys saw this. It was making its way on the internet today. The Zoom call that Manning, Brady, Mickelson, and Tiger Woods did together. And there was a little segment of it that was Manning kind of dumping on Brady and dumping on Tiger Woods. And, you know, I've decided I like Manning better than Brady. I think Manning's a better guy. I think Manning is way more relatable, has a sense of humor, and is a regular Joe, and Brady is just detached from reality. I've decided Brady's got the rings, no question about it. I'd rather hang out with Manning.
Okay. I appreciate the rant, and I appreciate the feeling. And I just don't envy the jet ski with the kids in Tampa Bay. Like, oh, my God. You ever have to take your kids out on the jet ski, Maz?
No.
Oh, it's freaking painful. It's free. Slow down. No, speed up. Slow down. Speed up. Ah, it's so fun. Speed up. Meanwhile, your freaking arse is banging up and down against it. It's really not that fun. The jet ski is worth about maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And if you got kids, less. Less. Oh, my God, let me drive. Shut up. Let me drive. No, speed up. Oh, my God, speed up. Oh, it's not that much fun. Go ahead. I mean, to me, it's the boating in the Monte Carlo with the race car driver, that's fancy pants. That thing, that is like, oh, Wood, can you come do this? Please. It's really not that fun.
I'm telling you, the whole thing, the more I think about it, and I don't know why this hasn't really resonated with me till now, Tampa Bay. Is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard or what? Yeah, Tampa Bay, I'm going to trademark it. Oh, God. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. That blows. Seriously. Who came up with that? Why trademark that so some complete loser couldn't steal it from you? Tampa Bay. That's pathetic. I can't. Seriously. Is that the worst trademark ever? Tampa Bay. Tampa.
Okay, so the difference, folks, is that this Brady bashing began before he went to Tampa, just so you know. It's a consistent. We're still on the same run, unlike you. Now you probably agree with us. But anyway, so there's your Brady interlude. Back to your schedule thoughts and the Patriots quarterback thoughts and a long commercial-free segments next, Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And there is one topic in particular that we're going to get to today. I brought it up very briefly at the end of one of our segments. The possibility that the NFL will encounter a situation in which some stadiums can be open this year, but some stadiums can't be open, for example, in a place like California, where Governor Gavin Newsom has suggested, along with other politicians there, that it may be a while until stadiums can open up and fans can attend. One idea that I had yesterday, Peter, and one thing I'm going to be looking at very carefully when the schedule comes out, will the NFL potentially in advance build in the possibility of, say, the Rams sharing a venue with the Raiders in Las Vegas, the Chargers sharing with the Cardinals in Arizona, the 49ers maybe going to Denver and sharing with the Broncos. I want to see when the home games for some of these teams line up to see if there is a way that it could be accommodated. If it's been planned in advance for this possibility, the NFL will say, we'd rather take these games to a place where fans can attend and we can make money that way versus playing the games in a sterile, empty stadium.
So that's one little wrinkle. Interesting. Can't play in a certain city. Would you switch your home games to another city? And is the schedule going to allow for that? So, I don't know, in his scenario, are the Raiders and Chargers or Rams going to be, you know, home road? Are they going to be opposite every week so when the Raiders are on the road, L.A. can go use their stadium? Watch for that tonight. A lot of little things tonight. I think you'll be able to, when all the schedules come out, you'll be able to piece some things together. The NFL, I think, you know, good for them, has just plowed ahead with everything they could plow ahead with. And they've tried to be business as usual as much as they can. But they have to have contingencies. And the schedule should have some clues tonight, right? What those contingencies are. And I wonder if that's one of them. Like, that's a big one. And what if, let me just quickly, before I go to the phones, what if New England was one of those places? What if the Pats had to account for not being able to play here for the first couple months of the year and they had to play somewhere else? Where would they play?
Well, New York's out.
New York's out, exactly.
Yeah, so, I don't know what the, you know, what the stats are in Philadelphia as far as, you know, COVID-19. I'm trying to pick places that are close. Buffalo? I mean, maybe? Would the Patriots have to go play in Buffalo?
It's curious. I'm you know, right, exactly, Murray. Ugh.
I mean, again, you're talking about a city there, right, that you know, it's not an enormous city, so maybe the numbers there are down. And again, I haven't looked at a map to give you an individual city-by-city breakdown of what the coronavirus totals are. But to me, it would have to be a place like that or Indy or something. You know, you got to pick somewhere reasonably close, right? I mean, it's, you know, you can't go play home games in Seattle. Not that that's an option. But, you know, Buffalo, Indy, something like that.
Okay.
Pittsburgh.
Peter King in this conversation is going to have a little nugget on something he heard as well. You'll hear that at the top of the five. But first, let's grab a couple of phones. Dan and Quincy. Dan, what do you got?
Not Tampa Bay, Felger. It's the Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. Don't forget the Gronkaneers, brother, you know? And Tony, God bless you, brother. I loved your rant. You sounded like me there for a while. Don't put me in the category of ripping Brady now. I ripped him before he left. You know that. And I want to challenge Murray. Murray, you go to Tampa Bay and live, but here's one condition. You have to stay there in the summer. You can't come back. I bought real estate in Jamaica back in the late 70s, my man. Most beautiful place you ever want to be. Nice climate in the winter. But you don't want to live there in the summer, my friend. 95-degree water, 95-degree breeze, brother.
Oh.
You stay there. I challenge you.
Forget the weather. Just the people, the climate. I mean, the human climate there. It's
White trash?
Oh, it's a swamp meat.
It's mostly a garbage city. Having been.
Oh, totally. Please.
Garbage.
Again, America's colon.
And Murray,
as far as the climate, I once walked from the parking lot at that Tropicana Dome into the building. By the time I got in there, it was literally like 200 yards. I looked like Joe Hags coming out of a sauna. I was dripping, and I looked like I just walked through a rainstorm.
Good luck, Murray. Weather's just weather, Murray. It's just weather.
No, it's not. Oh, please.
It's just weather. I mean, what? The only time weather matters to me is when I'm on vacation, right? If you're somewhere on the beach, you don't want it to rain. If you're skiing, you don't want it to rain, et cetera, et cetera. Other than that, what are you doing? You wake up, you work, you do your show, you come home, you have dinner, you go to bed. Like, what does it matter what the weather is?
Because I want to see sunshine. I actually deal with depression if I don't see it enough, as does Maz and people from the Mediterranean. If you have that kind of blood flowing through you, I need sun. And here, it's gloomy, seemingly 10 out of 12 months.
So the sun does make me happy.
Wait a minute. Because you have some sort of Mediterranean ancestry, you're more prone to depression if it's not sunny?
Yes.
Is that proven or is that just a theory?
No.
Totally a theory.
Feels like a reach.
It's got something to do with the percentage of olive oil in your blood. That's what it is. Okay. It's related to that.
If you don't think the weather here blows, then you're not paying attention.
Oh, sure, of course it blows. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That ain't freaking the tropics either.
I know. Look what it did to you.
It's just weather. It's only weather. Another little schedule wrinkle, according to Peter King, and back to the matter at hand. If Belichick has to manage Stidham next year, if he's got to manage when he plays, who he plays against, who he starts the season with, does that mean it's a fail? The quarterback plan's a fail. Belichick's quarterback transition is a fail. If he has to manage Stidham, does that mean it's an F? We'll pick that up as well with your calls after Murray's 90-second update here. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.